I'm Samantha Rise, and welcome to Vagina Talks, where we speak about, to, and from vaginas. This is a show of alchemy, where we turn poison into medicine, disconnection into wisdom, and isolated wounds into communal peacemaking. Here's your host, Sophia Wise One.
You already know everything they could teach you. You already know everything they could say. We are here to remind you what you already know.
I just want to take a minute to acknowledge that Vagina Talks understands that gender is fluid and dynamic and goes way beyond the binary of either woman or man, she or him, and that in fact it's a living and evolving thing that's actually personal, person to person, and that our bodies, even our understanding or the ways that we experience them, can vary. It's important for me that that's something that has space here on Vagina Talks. And at the same time, I also am carrying this understanding that womanhood and the experience of the feminine and all of the female in the splitting of that binary has been injured, has been hurt, has been dismantled. And so I'm looking to have a space where the feminine and the female and the female body is reclaimed and respected and lifted and inspected and known, as well as a space that goes beyond the binary and that acknowledges that these are limited constructs mostly put upon us, and that we're in the process of evolving into something more whole and more true. Just wanted to say that some of my guests will use incredibly binary language for whatever reason from the places that they come from, and I just wanted to let you know that Vagina Talks has a much wider understanding, and it's a living one. So feel free to chime in as we go along. Without further ado, today's episode.
Hi, friend. It's Sophia, and we are back on Vagina Talks. I am here in a basement, in a sacred basement. It's just you and me today. So I invite you to take a couple breaths and get settled. I'm tenderized by weeping. I feel like there's so much to share, and I just sat down to record this episode and took a few breaths and took a few more breaths and took a few more breaths, and then finally settled and realized I was just going to sit in silence for 12 minutes. So I did practice number, I don't know, 5 for the day. It's deep what we're in right now. I invite you to take a couple breaths and like join me in that deep place, if you would. You can just witness me if you want, and I also invite you to like slow and settle in your heart. I am recording in a beloved friend's sanctuary meditation space, this quiet nook. And what I'm feeling, what I think we are feeling in so many ways, is the inhabitants of our love. I'll speak really specifically for me. What I'm in this visceral, literal, clitoral space. I've been praying for a few years to feel my heart and feel the back of my heart. I had this space in my spine that I couldn't feel as well as the rest of it, and I began to work with this space of weaving my connection, my experience. I used to think people always lightened their touch in that one place. And I had this feeling of like, no, but that's where I want more touch. And it took me a few years to realize that people weren't lightening their touch. I just couldn't feel it as well. And it went from feeling like I didn't notice to having this like lack of less sensation to this awareness of the numbness into the movement. First was into pain, which is often the case when we have a place of numbness in us anywhere. Often what's kind of tucked behind numbness is pain. Often like the dance of anger tucked behind our anger or underneath our anger is grief. They often do this weaving together. And in the past few months, I've been having more and more opening and more connection and feeling. And in the past few days, really, I mean, it's obviously, it's like continuous, right? Like, where do we ever start the story? Like 400,000 million years ago in another parallel dimension, or like 6 minutes ago. I was feeling, was having these experiences in different spaces, in like yoga or in martial arts, or while I was giving someone else a session, I was feeling more and more of this territory, this kind of painful and also not painful, just a little bit of sensation. And just in the past few days, I've felt this space open. It's so tender. I felt this space open. And all this ideas, all these ideas started to pour out. And this is the part where I can really say, like, it's not just me. I've been having a lot of conversations with people, friends, students, clients, strangers. In the past couple weeks, it's been, right, it's actually been on my heart, and as well as people coming forward to me and sharing with them this space of feeling our heartbreak and feeling what we love and feeling this inability to keep loving the way that we used to love or relating to love the way we used to relate. Because in some ways it feels like, was that really love? I'm loving, doing my best, but was that dynamic, was that space love? A lot of reckonings happening. The question I've been asking myself this week is, am I willing to be that sane? Am I willing to be that sane? And it started at this moment when I was in Taos, and there's this practice, this Sistema practice, where you start the day by dumping a bucket of cold water over yourself and bare feet outside, naked, preferably, I believe. And I have these friends who have a well, like a spring on their land, and one of them does it every day. Boosh. And the invitation was, do you want to go outside? And, you know, they were going to go and do that, and their partner's there with me. And we're like, are we going to go do that? And what came out of my mouth was, it's so sane, you know, going outside and dumping this bucket of water. It's so sane. And if you don't know, part of the reason it's so sane is because of the way that it activates the body, like physically, the way that it wakes up and stimulates circulation and flushing and activating and kind of brings you in on one level. Another reason it's so sane is because when we work with cold water like that, it helps a lot with our neuroreactivity, or rather our neuroresponsivity, meaning we can use cold water stimulus as a way to practice staying present with really abrupt changes. And so the more we engage in cold water practices, the more neurological pathways we have accessible to ourselves to stay present when we get a, like, you know, that to us, so that it's a practice. So it's deeply sane. And if you haven't done this, you know, flipping your water to cold at the end of your shower, or doing a sauna or a heat practice and then jumping into cold water. When we learned hydrotherapy when I was in massage school, you know, the practice recommendation was once, like, to do it three times, recommended do it three times and end on the cold. And that is this really great way of flushing the muscles, flushing the nervous system, all this stuff. So it's really sane. That's what I'm saying. It's really sane to go outside in the bare feet and receive this water blessing, this water, spring water, like, you know, yeah, there's snow on the ground. Yeah, it's temporary. It's sensation. It's potent medicine, and it's also stabilizing medicine the more we do it. And I've been over the fall, kind of just by my own, I've just been in my own practice separate from this invitation, been doing more cold water therapies for myself anyway. So, and yet, right, the, like, obvious part of this statement is that, like, the way in which even my first instinct was kind of be like, oh my God, that sounds so crazy. Like, oh, what a crazy idea. But as soon as I even started to think that, I couldn't think that. And what I thought was, what a sane idea. And then I said, oh, what a sane idea. And then I said, oh my gosh, what a sane idea. Like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to do that. It's such a sane idea. It's such a sane idea. And then I said to myself, am I willing to be that sane? To which my answer was yes. Yes, I'm willing to be that sane. I am willing to be sane in a world that tells us crazy things are sane and sane things are crazy. I'm willing to be sane. I'm willing to say yes to the things that are nourishing and restoring and balancing and medicinal and kind. And I'm willing to say no to the things that are depleting and exhausting and excruciating and repetitive to predictable results that are unsatisfactory. And that's the piece that I'm seeing all of us in right now that feels so tender, is this awakening. And for some people, it's a rude awakening. And for some people, I had that. I had some of that tonight, this feeling of, like, I didn't use the word rude then, but it's like offensive. You know, of just being like, oh, seeing that is just admitting that is like, it's offensive to my sensibilities that I've cultivated. Like, I don't want to look there. I don't want to admit that. And yet, if the question is, am I willing to be that sane, or am I willing to look there? Am I willing to admit that? Then this, like, heart pouring, this, like, womb softening feeling that says, like, yes, yes. And this phrase that I, you know, use that I think communicates a phrase is at all costs, you know. And I'm open to see another way of communicating that, maybe with a different edge to it, that sense of, like, willing to risk it all, and that sense of all the things that I've loved and enjoyed and all the things that didn't work, I'm willing to risk it to any of those things, like the comforts or the discomforts, to arrive in something that is sustainably functional. And one of the places that this is showing up for people right now is in this consideration of how we make our money. And as we come into a recognition of the value of our own life force and the preciousness of our own body and our own space, the idea of just working ourselves to a point of depletion stops being even remotely sane. even though it makes sense to a degree, but there's this way in which it's like in us, it just stop being able to buy in on it, because in my being, it's not. It's like, but I don't know how long I'll be here. I don't know what I'll have. So this way of spending my life force on a daily basis is important. And it's in fact what I have and what I'm responsible to. And the same thing with our relationships, our love relationships, our relationships with our children, our lovers, our friends, our intimate friends, our students, our teachers, our parents, our siblings. You know, there's this funny, this notion of the holiday season it's interesting to me, because I understand instinctually why it's a season of like gathering, feasting, and festival of lights, because we're in right now, like 4 weeks leading up to winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, and then 4 weeks out, we're in these 8 weeks of long nights and short days and places or rhythms of winter, a quieting and in some cases bone chilling exposure. I often say, if you don't know how you're feeling, just look at the trees. So it's like these winter trees with their branches out, and you can see their structure, and it's like all the feathers, all the plumage has faded away. All the tall grasses are laying down or wilted, and you see the body of the earth. You see the stones that in summer are covered in greenery, stones, the bones of the earth. Bone truth. And the bone truth can be so liberating and so brutal and so kind and peacemaking. Like, it can be all of those things, sometimes all at once, sometimes in a very much kind of core thematic way. I've been just in the past like few hours, like right in my like raw healing space that I'm feeling called to share with you right now. I'm not sure how like coherent or useful or, you know, any of that stuff is, but what's coming up to be shared is I had this shift in me, this like clarity, this like click, this. And it's, you know, it's like that I had this body, this visceral, literal, I had body work, and I'm like moving my body. I can feel the way in the tissues have shifted. I had a big release in the anterior part of my cervix, and then I had a big release that happened following that in a body work session of these planes of fascia, these planes of fluid, these waves of movement and waves of grief, waves and waves of grief. And as a result of that, you know, that spaciousness and my prayer, when I'm in those spaces, my breath, my focus is pretty simple. And it's this understanding that there's a way that we get tied or tight or tense in a pattern that is different than our most exquisite, divine, radiant, body wisdom, optimal self wants to be. That our body knows, that our spirit self knows what our truest alignment is. And so my kind of, I don't know, focus is this, my invitation over and over to myself and in body work when I'm receiving is this surrendering of the habits of tension to the wisdom and the healing potential and the optimal expression and form and structure. So even the invitation to have my body and have my being shift so that it's different into a whole nother way, entirely beyond the realms of limited known. Like, why not, right? Like, if that's the space, and that I can trust in my core vibrating body sense that all of that potential is there, and so that all I need to do is breathe in, let go of what was, and invite the truest, wisest to unfold and to reveal and to take shape and to express and to become. So that's what I'm doing, and that's what I'm allowing, really. The doing is really the choice, and then it's this active surrendering. And so as this, my heart, as I feel into the back of my heart and I feel into the front of my spine and the fluid and the tissues there that were previously compressed to one another, tight and not moving, like in a fascial bind, like I could draw a picture of how they were stuck together. And now there's this movement, there's space between the spine, between the heart, there's interplay, there's fluid, there's fascial movement that's happening even right now, like as I speak, as you listen to this, more movement and breath and fluid is becoming available in me. And in that, I'm feeling shy about it, and I'm like having a moment of feeling shy about it, and then being like, oh, remember, the show is called Vagina Talk, Sophia, and it's your show, remember? Like, let's like also weave in that cervix bind that I was talking about. And I was doing a combination of self-pleasuring and listening in my body and like I've been in this process of my pelvic pain was so intense. I couldn't like physically touch myself. Getting turned on at all was really painful. And so it's been this process over many years of kind of confronting. That's how it felt at first. There was just this like, I just have to show up to it and edge my way back into this territory that was just like locked down. And so I would just meet the lockdown and meet what was there. And a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of anger at the patriarchy, a lot of like, get out. I did a lot of literally screaming, get out of me, get out of me. This was like years and years ago now, 2015. There was like a chapter of, I would use water and I would just like lay down and let water pour over me. And it was so painful. And I could breathe into it, and it wasn't, I could find the edge where it wasn't painful. It was just touching my pain. And that's a really important distinction. And so Yes. Really important distinction. Because I wasn't doing things that would hurt me. I was doing things that were gentle, but then I could feel all the pain that was in my body. And so I worked my way back into my body through the planes that I had access to. So my pain was where I could find myself. And then the pain would open up and there I'd find the rage. And then the rage would open up and there I'd find the grief. And then the grief would open up and there I'd find the acknowledgement and the stories and the assumptions about who I am and what I was supposed to be doing. And waves of clearing and clearing and clearing and clearing. And so it's really like a time of excitement for me that I get to have a practice with myself that also is pleasurable now. It took many years to get there and a lot of different work and different focus. And one of the things, this is like kind of, I'm trying to share with you, is that one of the things that happened was there was a time that's just beginning to shift now where even the pleasure, kind of like the pain, was something that I kind of had to touch in on, and I would like feel it, just like the pain, like all the different sensations, I would like feel into it, and then I could only take so much, and I would like dissociate. And so there was a little bit of like rushing or getting through or abandoning, like starting and then being like, okay, that's as much as I can handle. And the fact that when I'm connecting with my body now, I can slow down to just feel sensation, just to feel, like just to feel, not even to feel like, is it painful or does it feel good or does it feel this or does it feel that, but just to feel physical sensation with my breath and a sustained connection to my body is new for me now. At this point, there's a part of it that feels like a returning to myself from my like teen years, and there's also a part that feels completely unprecedented, and it's slow. Like all of it is a tender practice for me. And it's getting sexier, which is, you know, like meaning it's like also like feeling good and feeling sexy and feeling something that I can begin to kind of, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Yeah. I just want to kind of, how do I both celebrate and honor this like sexiness that I'm feeling and also recognize like how tender the space is? And I think maybe what I do is I can say, I feel like I'm the sexiest I've ever been in my whole life, in my life. And I feel more sensual and embodied. And I have like a sexiness and a sexuality and a vitality that feels risky to walk in the world in, but I'm doing it and it feels good and nourishing to myself. Like I have that. And I'm in this very like step-by-step, like, you know, like let me slow down and breathe. And like, how much can I like stay present and not dissociate while I'm making contact with my own body, right? Like this is like, it's like very, it's very focused. It doesn't quite have a sense of like, I think the part that I like am looking forward to is having a sense of levity and ease and like playfulness and flexibility, like that part of myself, like a vital, active, like that. I'm not, it still feels a little, it's like very intentional, you know. And yeah, I don't know, maybe things move fast, so maybe that's just right around the corner. But the point is, so I'm in this like, you know, and it doesn't feel like an either or. It doesn't feel like I'm going to get there and then lose this intentionality. I feel like all of this has been a process of expanding my ways of feeling and experiencing myself. So I'm adding things more than like getting over and moving past things. Like I have an ability to be present with pain in my body now. That's different than it was 4 years ago. And there's a way that I can be with my breath. And all of those things are like ever expanding. Like in each one of those is like constantly growing. So share all of that to just kind of give some context. So I'm in this place and I've felt this bind, this physical bind at the front of my cervix. And I felt these ties, this bind and these ties that affected all these other people, like more than I could ever keep track of. And I had that moment of clarity of, when I release this bind, it's going to affect the way that I relate, which means it's going to affect everything in my life, because it's going to affect the way that I relate to everything in my life. And when I shift in such a foundational way, all of those things are going to shift. And right, that's what we're doing. That's what we're here. Like, it's just like, I have that moment of just like leaning into you, of just being like, right, I mean, isn't that what we're doing? Like, isn't that what we hang out and talk about doing all the time? Is like being willing to like do that and like keep shifting those foundational ways so that what the experience we're having is different. Yes. The answer is yes. And it had one of those moments of like, oh, this is big. And it had one of those moments of, when this releases, that spot in my spine is going to shift. And that spot in my occiput, the base of my skull, and my headaches are going to shift. Like I could feel the bind wrapping up my body. And I could feel that when I let it go, that all of me was going to unwrap and unravel. And again, this question of like, am I willing to be that sane? Am I willing to unwrap and unravel those tension patterns and be so sane? Yes. And so I sent blessings in every direction to anyone and everyone that would be affected by this shift. Like, prep people as you can, care for people as you can, people, things, myself, just like ease and blessings in the transition. And then I just kept granting myself permission. And then the body opened, it shifted, released, bind released. And then I went just a couple hours later and laid down on this bodywork table and had all this, like all along my back and spine and neck and arms. And it was just like, all of that really moved. And one of the things that I realized in the past, this is what I was about to say, and then I gave you all this kind of context. One of the things that I've realized is that who I loved and how I loved them, and like how I loved who I loved, love, present tense. I came to this place of really asking to want differently. Which, you know, as I sit here in this space, is now there's a softening in me that feels like a permission, and that was present too. It felt scarier yesterday. Like I didn't know how I could ever feels a little scary to say. I'm going to say it. That I could ever
so tender, you know? It's just like, we all just want to be loved.
Like, just as we are, you know? But could I ever really just be loved?
And the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes. And the miracle of my life now, like right now, is that I have these relationships, these deep, intimate friendships, where I am revealing, and even here in the podcast with you, like my, I think everywhere, like I, and in the intimate relationships, I get the intimate feedback, which is different than what just the courage of like broadcasting, of being myself with less and less filtration and less control of myself. And to just be that, which I think for many people, I don't know how, I know people do experience me differently. It's true. Sometimes I think I try to comfort myself like, oh, I haven't changed that much, but
I both have and
have not, and they're both true. But I have this space of being, like stepping into this and just being like, okay, and like risking it all, and then having the chance of experiencing people say like, yeah, I'm down. Like, I'm not down. I'm down. And especially living on the road and going to and from different places and like living with people, you know, like being at day four and being like, okay, but like now I've been all of this for like, are you like that deep vulnerability of like, am I still lovable? And this clarity of like, I'm only going to believe their yes if I first believe a yes. And so I'm having this deep experience of like loving myself enough to believe the people that are loving me, love me, and sharing enough of myself as I am so that the person that they're responding to, I'm feeling like really is me. You know, like when we project or do this people pleasing or like hold back who we are, and then people tell us they love us, it's so hard to trust that because we're like, well, but it's like I haven't really been me, so like how much can you know that you love me? And I don't think we do that consciously. I know I didn't do it consciously. Like, I've been one of the most boldly authentic and true to myself people that I've been always, and yet there's this like these just waves, these binds like coming undone where I'm just like, I'm just this, like I'm only getting weirder, like, and I love it, like I enjoy me. And so the courage to say like, I enjoy me, I enjoy my company, and this is that place of like, this is that past like 12-hour shift of just like, let me want and let me be attracted to, and let me like build and collaborate and connect with people who have cultivated that in themselves and so can meet me there. In some ways it's simple, it's like appear, you know? And it has this way, it's like, it has this way of sounding like hierarchical or like, but I don't mean it that way because I think it's a combination of preferences and just being honest. Like if everybody can be honest, like I'm not everybody's cup of tea, like, and that's all right. I just want the person who's like really into my cup of tea, the people that are really into my cup of tea to like be in into it, you know, and to be able to say like, I'm really into it. You know, and for me to be like, this is me, and like brew the tea that's me and not like try to add a bunch of shit to it or try to like cover up flavors or leave things out. It just like comes back of just being like, it's again, it's like, how am I willing to be that sane? Like, am I willing to just, when I want an intimate connection with someone, again, like friendship, sexual, like deep collaboration, creative process, like whatever it is. But if there's going to be this like intimate connection, like how sane is it to just present yourself as you are? Like, how sane is it for me to just share myself as I am? Like, these are my quirks. These are my gifts. Want to hang? Like, that's so sane. So I feel like I could say lots more things in lots of different directions, and I kind of feel like that's a good wrap for me for the night. Maybe go play a little music or just sing myself some songs. And then put myself to bed. And let this healing like, keep healing. And I wish that for you. Because I know that you're in this like tender turn to like admitting who you are to yourself and letting yourself fall in love with you and then believing that other people could love you too. And maybe you already have that and you've listened to me talk with loving compassion and witnessing, and I say thank you for that. I appreciate your presentness and generosity. And maybe you feel like it's impossible. And you couldn't even ask the questions. And what I can say to you is that I used to not even ask the questions. I didn't even know. I thought it was impossible. I was so busy taking care of what I could take care of and getting the love that I could get. I didn't have the space to feel into me. I know that we're already loved. In the most like true, trustworthy, simple, like quiet, loud, stone, bare tree. That hot springs exist on this earth. I think that might be like, that we have a breath. All of that. Majesty. So I invite you to join me in sanity, being you, loving you, believing
and letting others love with you. I see a world where sanity is equated with things like function and health, sustainability. And the things that are crazy and wacky get the space that they need to move and be without causing harm. Supported safe spaces where we listen and act. On that same deep knowing, especially for ourselves, that we have access to it, that we know it. And I'll say this too, which is like, some days the bucket is sanity and care, and some days lots of extra oil and a hat and like warm fluids on the inside is sane and care. And it's our ability to hear in the present moment and then the courage to act on that. That's where the magic happens. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for being with you. That's what I want to say. Thanks for being with you. I do this because I gotta. It's sane and nourishing for me. And I celebrate and really am grateful that it can feed you and remind you and connect you to yourself in any way. I love that. I'm grateful for that. So take care of you. Let me know if there's anything you want to let me know. Take care, my friends. We'll connect soon.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sophia.
Remember, everything that we talked about in today's episodes will be in the show notes. So go there for links.
For more content that you're going to love, subscribe to this podcast. Share this episode with anybody you think you'll enjoy it, and share the love with a rate or review wherever you listen.
And to find out about all the mad adventures I'm up to, check me out on Instagram at SophiaWiseOne, or come to my website, SophiaWiseOne.com.
Oh, you can subscribe to this mailing list by texting VTOX to 66866.
I am Sophia WiseOne, daughter of the wind. I am calling you to rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up and take your place.
Y'all know you need to hear that, though. You know. If you don't know, now you know.
If you don't know.
Okay. Y'all, I'm so excited about Vagina Talks right now. Don't pretend like you don't know this is the best podcast you've ever listened to. Don't pretend like you don't know. You know.